2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. And the former child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Again, he said the doctrine of the Old Testament is the teaching of salvation through faith, which is in Christ. He said, when you talk about salvation, your focus must be on the sota, not the act, as much as the actor. He's the one that preserves his work. He is called the Savior. So the salvation is found in his office. He's called the Savior. Now, having said that, go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. The writer of Hebrews, whom some claim is Paul, a claim that can be debunked easily. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard, God having or also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now, notice what the writer of Hebrews is presenting for us here. He says, which was spoken by the Lord. So he says that what was spoken by the Lord was salvation. The gospel. That was spoken by the Lord. So we want to follow the pattern with which he wrote. We're going to examine three texts of scripture in seeing a let's put it like this. In your study of the Old Testament, you will see these two things readily. Now, he presents which was spoken by the Lord, and then you will see also in Hebrews 10, 26 to 28. Hebrews 10, 26 to 28, where he mentions, if we willfully, after we have received knowledge of the truth, there remains no more, if we sin willfully, Parliament, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. For a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fearing indignation which shall devour the adversaries, he that despised Moses' law, died without mercy under two or three witnesses, how much surer punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who are trodden under foot the Son of God, and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified and holy and unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. I want us to look at those verses very well. The third one will be Hebrews 12, 25. Hebrews 12, 25. See that you refuse not him that speaks, for if they escape not, which refute him that spoke on the earth, much more we, if we turn away from him that spoke from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. And now he that promised, saying, he had promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. So, we want to look at the distinction. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And then what did he say we have heard? He wasn't talking about verse 2. It was verse 3. Which was spoken of by the Lord. Now pay attention and very closely. He opens his book by saying, God who has sundry times, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, and divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, and in these last days spoken in his Son. Uses the word laleo. L-A-L-E-O. He has spoken in his Son. Verse 3 now tells you what he means by he has spoken in his Son, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. What is the word of his power? When he had by himself. Now when he said upholding all things, people assume he's talking about holding the universe together. No. He's talking about his promises. When he had by himself, Hebrews 1:3, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He says that is the speaking of God, that he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Again, in verse 13. He says, which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Of course, that's from Psalm 110 verse 1, which relates to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So, Hebrews 1:13 and Hebrews 1:3b, are they saying the same thing? Huh? Are they saying the same thing? Very good. So he goes further. Hebrews 2, verse 6. What is man that you are mindful of him, nor the son of man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowns him with glory and honor, and this set over the works of your hand. Who is speaking there? That's a prophet. Right? That's a prophet. That's the prophet who is David. So the prophet spoke, Hebrews 1:1, and God upheld everything by what he said. What did he do? So what Jesus did is called the word, in that it fulfills all the prophet has said in verse 1. So it's answering. That means every time God will speak through the prophet, you will find the fulfillment in who? In who? In Christ's finished work. And so that's how he relates it. So he says in verse 13, same thing. Hebrews 2, verse 6, by the time they get to 8, and put all things subjected under his feet. He's still quoting the prophet. For in that he put all things subjected under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Look at the next verse. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels when suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should test death for every man. So we find what the prophet said and what God did. Does it make sense? Huh? The prophet said this and Jesus fulfilled it. Again, it goes further. And he's talking about salvation in verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing thy praise. Because he said, those he that sanctified, and they who are sanctified all of one, for which cause no ashamed to call them brethren. Verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. So, he's just showing you how Jesus, the word of God, fulfills the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets. So everything that was said by God, by the prophets, in Christ, was said about salvation. Let's go to Hebrews 3 again, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, if you will hear his voice. What's his voice? Hebrews 4:3. He said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, Hebrews 4:4, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. And in this place, if they shall enter into my rest. Pay attention. Again, he spoke about the rest. Verse 2 now says, let's take verse 2 together. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. And the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard. So what does he call the voice of God? Huh? The gospel. Same thing, Hebrews 2:3 and Hebrews 2:4. The gospel. Please follow this very well. The gospel. Hebrews 4. Again. Verse 8. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Verse 7. Then verse 8. If Joshua, better still, had given them rest, then would he not have spoken afterward of another day? So it distinguishes the utterances concerning Christ and salvation and the gospel. Hebrews 6:14, same thing. Surely blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. Hebrews 8, just tracking the voice of God. Hebrews 8, verse 13. In that he seeth a new, he had made the first old. Now that which decays and wax old is ready to vanish away. What did he say? This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws in their minds, verse 10, and write them in their heart. I'll be to them a God, they shall be to me a people. And he shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 10, 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost is witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those who say the Lord, I'll put my laws in their minds and their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So, consistently, he points us to what the Holy Ghost said. What God said. So, that's consistent. Hebrews 12, 24. The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things till Abel, or from Abel, pardon me. So consistently, the voice of God in the book of Hebrews relates to the gospel. Don't ever forget that. It relates to the gospel. Again, Hebrews 3. So the things the prophet said in bits and pieces was what? Was what? The gospel. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your father tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always hear in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, verse 12. Take heed, he says, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let's take that one together. Hebrews 4, 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise be left us off, entering into his rest, any of you to seem to come short of it. Same thing. Salvation. Rest. Same thing. The gospel. Hebrews 5, verse 9. Let's take that one together. Hebrews 5, verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. The word obey is the word hupakuo, hupakuo. It means to answer. To those who answer him. What are they answering? The voice of the gospel. Is that very clear? So when you answer, then you have eternal salvation. The same word hupakuo is used in Hebrews 11 and verse 8. Obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Those who responded to what God said. So all through the book of Hebrews, what God said in the book of Hebrews was the gospel. What he said in the book of Hebrews was what? The gospel. Whatever God said in the book of Hebrews was the gospel. And then you will now see the consequence of not heeding to what God said. What's the consequence? Hebrews 12. Hebrews 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. What are the things we have heard? The gospel. Lest at any time you should drift away from them. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward. That means he's separating what the angels said and what God said. And what the angels gave was the law. Is that clear? How shall we escape if we neglect the gospel? Right? How shall we escape if we neglect the rest of God? Correct? How shall we escape if we neglect the promise being left of us? Is that very clear? Which is the gospel. So consistently, he affirms the voice of God as the gospel. The voice of God is the gospel. The voice of God is good news. The voice of God is a promise. That's why we said that the only response to the voice of God is what? Faith. Anything in the Old Testament books that requires any other thing but faith is not God. The unique attributes of the voice of God is that the response is faith. Are you there? So Hebrews 12. Said the blood of sprinkling that spoke better things from Abel, who testified of what Christ would do, his sufferings and the glory that should follow. Look at 25. Yet you refuse, you refuse not him that speaketh. Is that clear now? Is that clear? That will be Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Correct? And what did he say? He said, how Christ will cleanse us from all sins. That's the voice of God in the Old Testament. So he says, if you refuse, see that you refuse not him that speaks. Can we say, see that you do not disbelieve the gospel? Okay? For if they escape not, who refused him that spoke on the earth? Is that God? That's Hebrews 2:2. Come on. Are we together? Good. That spoke on the earth. Much more, we, if we turn away from him that spoke from heaven. So, two people are speaking here. Him that spoke from heaven. Then verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth? That's the one that spoke from where? The earth. Is that clear? Uh-huh. But now, he had promised saying, yet once more, I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, and as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Just pay attention. So Hebrews 10, 26 to 28, you need to know how he put in two dispensations within the same time. The gospel and the law. Hebrews 10, again. If we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. The word to sin willfully is a Greek word, ekosios, H-E-K-O-U-S-I-O-S. E-K, sorry, H-E-K-O-U-S-I-O-S. Let's see what it means. Romans 8:20. Romans 8:20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Same word. 1 Corinthians 9:17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. If against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. So when you use the word a coin, you are referring to something you do of your own accord. Of your own accord. So Hebrews 3:17. No, 3:12, sorry. Not 17. Take it therefore, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Notice the word. Departing. Amatano. Away from the living God. Now, where did you locate the living God? From what he says. What did the living God say? The gospel. Are you following this? So, to sin willfully will mean to depart from what? From the gospel. To depart from the gospel. Now, I meant Philemon 14, not Philippians 14. Philemon 14. When I said Philippians 1, 14, Philemon 14. Now, notice something. The next statement should arrest your attention. It says, if you depart from what God said, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Strange. There remained no more sacrifice for sins. So what did you depart from? Sacrifice for sins. That is what you refused. The sacrifice for sins. That's what, not you now. That's what was refused. Praise God. The word no more remains, is the same word used for the rest of God. Apolepo. A-P-O-L-E-I-P-O. A-P-O-L-E-I-P-O. Used in Hebrews 4:6. It remained that some must enter therein, the rest of God. Verse 9. There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. So, by saying, there remaineth no more rest. Is that very clear? Because the rest is in the sacrifice for sin. Does it make sense? So, what a man departs from is the rest of God. So, can you see that Hebrews 2, 3 to 4 is consistent with what we just said in Hebrews 10. So, the writer of Hebrews is dealing with unbelief. Unbelief, Hebrews 3:19. So we see, they could not enter in because of unbelief. Because he had told you in Hebrews 4:14, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed on the heaven, Jesus the Son of God. So go back to Hebrews 10. Let's unravel it a bit more. Verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which had devoured the adversaries, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Where is that? That is Hebrews 2:2, giving back to you again. Is that very clear? If the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Pay attention. The next verse makes the unstable mind. So far, have we read a man losing salvation? It shouldn't even enter your mind. It's not a temptation, it's not a test, it's not a trial. The next verse. How much sorrow punishment? Can I say, how much more if we neglect? Can I say the same thing? Sorrow punishment. Suppose he shall be he that thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, figure of speech, and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Let's examine those words one by one. The word trodden under means to turn away from, to refuse. It's the same thing Jesus used in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Matthew 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. That is a disregard for something, which is unbelief. Trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted to count means they saw the blood of the covenant. They saw it. The word there is a gomai, to count it. A-H-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. It's a judgment call. That is, this is how they see it. They don't see the blood as sacrifice for sins. They see it as, they counted it as unholy. It doesn't matter. It's not something sacred. Same word. Hebrews 11:11. She judged him faithful. Same word. Egomai. Hebrews 11:26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Greater riches. Hebrews 11:26. Hebrews 13:17. Esteem those who have the rule over you. Hebrews 13:17. They will give account, sorry. That's Hebrews 13:17. Hebrews 13:24. Salute them that have the rule over you. Sorry, the word rule over you. That is, those who are regarded. So the man regards the blood, which is the word egomai actually, to regard. He regards the blood as unholy. The word unholy means common. Ordinary. What is this? It doesn't mean anything. That's not a believer. Then look, next verse confuses people. You see, let me explain something to you in translations. There are many verses where there was no pronoun. So the translators, because you have to put a pronoun, who said what, will include it. But by the time you read within the context, you will find the pronoun sometimes misplaced. For example, look at when he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The word God is not in the original. He just said, no, 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 no. That's all he said. Just say, God forbid. Where did you see God there? Same thing here. When he says, so this confused many people, wherewith he was sanctified. As though the man was born again, whereas there is no E in the Greek. So, the blood of the, wherewith, sorry, he had counted the blood wherewith he was sanctified. There's no he, an unholy, unholy thing. So, he uses two opposites. So, he can say, the blood which sanctifies, hagiazo. He sees it as ordinary. Simple. So, he is not sanctified by the blood because he does not believe it does. Are you there? So, this is unbelief. So, stop using text of unbelief for when believers commit sin. No. Hebrews 6 solves that for you. The popular Hebrews 6:6. The writer will be shocked at what has happened to that verse. It has been mutilated. Go back to Hebrews 12. We are just putting similar texts together. Can you see? They are all saying the same thing. Because the writer of Hebrews writes to believers, but he also writes concerning those who are yet to be persuaded. He writes to believers, but writes concerning those who are yet to be persuaded. I submit that he was saying that to convince men on evangelism. Because he wrote to believers, no doubt. But he's writing to believers concerning those who have not believed. Paul did the same thing. Now look at this. Hebrews 12 again 27. And this, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made. When you use the word removing, it means to overthrow. It's the word salihu, S-A-L-E-U-O. In S-A-L-E-U-O, is used in Hebrews 7:12. Let's say it together now. Hebrews 7:12, the same thing. See, when you read it all together, you will understand he was just repeating himself. Hebrews 7:12. Let's take it together. For, let's take it together. Hebrews 7, let's go. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Same thing. Salio, being overthrown. It's the same thing used for Enoch in Hebrews 11, 5. He was not found. He was translated. Removed from the scene. So what is he talking about? Obviously, he's saying that everything that was spoken in the earth, he will shake it. He will remove it. Referring to Hebrews 2:2. The word spoken by the angels. The change of the law. Just backtrack a bit and you will see it again. Hebrews 12:18. For we are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire and unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard it entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast struck the mountain, it shall be stoned and tossed through the dart. So terrible was the sight, Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. So he said, he will overthrow this. Hallelujah. He will overthrow this. Pay attention. Those things that are shaken, those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Referring to the new covenant. So what he's saying there is a replacement of the old covenant with the new covenant. So he says, wherefore, because of this, we receiving a kingdom. Hallelujah. Which cannot be moved. Is that very clear? Is that very clear now? Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Let's take 29 together. For our God is a consuming fire. Kata lanis lisko in the Greek, which means to conquer, to annihilate. You won't see it again. So what did our God consume? The old covenant. That's all. So, in 25, Hebrews 12, by telling you in 25, how did he consume it? By the blood of Jesus. Is that clear? Hebrews 12, 25. If we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, is the word apostrepho, A-P-O-S-T-R-E-P-H-O, again, unbelief. So we must come to see that the new covenant is not God's change of relationship. No. It is the only relationship God will ever have and has ever had. God didn't change. Same God. Within when the law subsisted, God was speaking the gospel. He was speaking salvation. Within the period the law subsisted. I saw that earlier too. That God's word is the gospel. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? So his word is the gospel. Let's get back to the garden one more time. Hallelujah. You like that garden? The garden of Eden. So was the gospel present in the garden? Always. Everywhere God spoke, it's the gospel. Always, always, always. Forgiveness was present in the garden. So we can say the tree of life is the gospel. Correct? The tree of life will remain the gospel. So everything turned towards that. The gospel. Titus. Put your hands in Genesis. Let's get back to Titus quickly. Titus. Or Titus. Like someone to say. Titus 1. Verse 2. And hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Let's take three together. But as in these due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. It's through preaching. Eternal life. And I told you, whenever you see the word preaching, what is the response? Believe. Don't ever forget that. Or unbelief, anyway. So we find in Abel, we've seen Abel. Abel was declared righteous. His doing well was what? Faith. His well done work was faith. Another man we want to quickly look at will be Abraham. Genesis 15:6. So when Paul says the law was, the sin was in the world, but was not imputed. Genesis 15:6. He was clearing up the character of God all through the ages. Genesis 15:6. And he believed in the Lord, that Abraham, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Critical words. He believed. He counted it. In the Bible, the entire Bible, this is the first time three words were used. The very first time. The first word that was used for the first time was the word aman. A-M-A-N. He believed. And you know why there was more commentary on him than others? The man writing was a Jew. Hallelujah. He believed. Aman. He believed. He believed. Let's follow. He believed. I was counted unto him for righteousness. So, Exodus 20 verse 5 was real for Abraham. He took care of the iniquity of the father. And that must be Abraham. He counted him righteous by faith. Mind my explanation. The second word is the word he counted to him for righteousness. It's the word chasab. C-H-A-S-H-A-B. It's an opinion. It's to think of something. An opinion. To consider it. The very first time you use the word chasab, a judgment of God, it says faith. So God considers faith. Believing. Last word, it says, he counted to him for righteousness. The word tzedakah, T-S-E-D-A-Q-A-H. T-S-E-D-A-Q-A-H. It means you have done well. It means you are upright. Imagine, he calls believing uprightness. God has never changed. Same thing with Abel. He says, morality in the highest form is faith in my word. And what did Abraham hear? Galatians 3:8, the scriptures foresee that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, thee shall all the nations be blessed. So he heard the gospel. And this is what caused a man like David. Psalm 32 verse 1. Let's look at it. These are people in the Old Testament. So condemning the Old Testament may be folly. Folly on your part. Psalm 32 verse 1. Blessed. Blessed. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Strong words. The word covered used by David here is the word kasah. K-A-S-A-H. Is used 152 times to conceal something that you will not see it. So the blessedness of God is that he will cover sin. If I say, but the Bible says, he that covereth the sin will not prosper. You are the one that is covering that one. Let him do the covering. He covered it. The next statement. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity. The same word, chasab, the one we read earlier. Genesis 15:6. Which is where we have logizomai. Remember that one. He counted it for righteousness. So, the Lord will not count iniquity. That is his blessing. Then he says, very tricky word here, in whose spirit is no guile. That's serious. Ruach is no falsehood. No falsehood. That's the word guile. No falsehood. Serious. He said, in his spirit is no falsehood. That is how you use him. When you use the word Ruach, you mean in his life. So, the Lord will look at the man's life and say, there is no falsehood. Why? Because he believed the gospel. That's heavy. Imagine believing this in a dispensation where the law is all over you. Yet the gospel. And so when Paul says, he says, grace abounded. As sin abounded, grace abounded. There was the grace of God. There was the grace of God available to everyone. In every instance, in the Old Testament. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Rather than men looking for the gospel in the book of Psalms, is how to kill somebody in their village. Psalm 103. Beautiful truths. Look at this. Verse 8. Look at how David puts it. He said in verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. How did he start? Bless the Lord, O my soul, verse 1. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Can we take verse 3 together? Who forgives all their iniquities and heals all their. Because of verse 4 and 2, many don't understand verse 3. What are his benefits? He forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Look at verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Oh, look at 9. Look at 9. Look at 9. Look at 9. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Look at 10. He has not dealt with us after our sins. This is the Old Testament. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. This man should be excommunicated from the body of Christ. He goes stronger. He said, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgression from us. You know what? Don't mind King James. King James had to doctor that word. Do you know that the word as far and the word removed is the same thing? Rashak. Do you know the difference now? Rashak. R-A-C-H-A-Q. That is. It's not that the man has stopped sinning. He does not regard it in relating with him. So, the way he said, as far as the heavens above the earth, so is his mercy. That is, you won't see it. You won't see sin in the way he relates with us. That's what he's saying. Where was this sin? Is it about, is it any book in Bible? No, this is the old, this is David. I mean, as far as the heaven above the earth. It doesn't relate in that way. He said that is what Moses knew. He knew his ways. Moses knew his ways. And he acted it. He did. He knew his ways. Very clear. Look at Psalm 130. We did a teaching on the message of grace. Someone said it was just dumbfounded. Old Testament. I said yes. It's not, grace is not the repentant nature of God. When he repented and changed from his evil ways, they became gracious. He was gracious from the garden. You can see that it is still a mystery. What did Adam do? Who will tell you? You can only configure things. It won't come from the mouth of God. You know, he never talked about what he did. He only talked about the provision he made. Same as Christ Jesus. Same. Psalm 130. I've seen people use this verse before they judge other believers. I'm not trying to judge you. I mean, the Bible says, if thou, O Lord, will mark iniquity, who can stand? However, the man is lost. Psalm 130 again. This is not David. If thou, in case you think that because of David's adultery, he's not David. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? He said, if you mark iniquity, who shall stand? The word to mark is the word shama. Remember shama. If you will see it. Are you getting the same shama? Not the shama that he will see the tree of life. Can you remember? Same word. If you will see iniquity, he said, who can stand? If you observe it, he said, who can stand? If you will, it's not if you will be writing it down. No. If you observe it, he said, who can stand? Then if we come to you and you first look at that, who can stand? Open challenge. Jesus said, if any of you has no sin, let him cast the first stone. You know the people that brought the woman, were Pharisees. Try leave. One by one. Try leave. Say, if God, O Lord, will see and observe. This is the Old Testament. Who can stand? Let's take verse 4 together. But forgiveness is with you, that you may be filled. Forgiveness is the word shulach. S-E-L-C-H-A-C-H. There's forgiveness with you. From the word salak. S-A-L-A-C-H. See, let's see the use of those words. Nehemiah 9:17. Nehemiah. Nehemiah 9:17. Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook them not. Daniel 9:9. Yes, pardon with you. Daniel 9:9. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. He calls that his conduct. So, was forgiveness available in God before Christ came? Yes. It's his character. He did not just become, like I said, Okay, let me see. No. Right before man sinned, while he was sinning, after he had. Such that we don't know what he did. We only know what the tree of knowledge of good and evil said. I know some whose mind is unstable. How? It's God. He sees all things. He sees you and your unbelief right now. Luke 7. See Jesus. He's talking to a man. Pay attention now. And he says, so can we say that the consistent character of God has been seen as forgiveness, which is the gospel. Luke 7. This is Jesus talking to a woman. Verse 48. Remember, the woman was called a prostitute. And he says, thy sins are forgiven. Do you know she didn't ask him? Hallelujah. It was not a hot prayer request. She didn't send him a text. Master. Say, your sins are forgiven thee. And verse 50, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. So, it was in the nature of God. In Luke 5, before now, he said the same thing. Luke 5, verse 20. Man, your sins are forgiven thee. So we now face a difficulty. I've read all this about the Father. Jesus being the manifest of the Father in man, the Son of God. Can I read Matthew 6, verse 12? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In fact, I grew up saying this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. A man even wrote on Facebook, excellently. Said, if you cannot remember the wordings of the Lord's Prayer, how can your prayer be effective? He thought he was sharing a deep insight. And as usual, with both scholarship and sponsor stuff, you are saying, damn. You hit it on the head. Damn. When I see things like that, I know the enormity of work that has to be done. The first thing as people, Christians need to first read the Bible. I think the first thing that we should have a convention of all Christians, just read. We will not be preaching. Just take your Bible, no iPad or no spot. Just read your Bible first. Because iPad just begins to do tweets. Take your Bible. Let's just read. Read. For 5 hours, I just read. Pay attention. Then you come back again, second session. Just read. Third session, read. Maybe 1 week after reading, they will now preach. You see that people will understand. They don't read. A man said, the Old Testament was given to balance the New. Now wait. Let's assume he thinks the Old Testament is the Old Testament. So, how will the old balance the new? In human language, the new came after the old. So the balance came first. I said, sir, take it easy. Take it. I know you want to attack some people, but take it easy. Don't now commit suicide. Because you're pointing the gun at yourself. Calm down. People say all sorts of things. Then we beg God. God cannot forgive. He just paint God in a terrible light. He can't forgive until you come with sackcloth and ashes and repent. Abba. Even you don't do that. You've been evil in yourself. Know how to give good gifts to your children. And God will now be beckoning on you. How in the world is even your sackcloth and ashes reality? It's just to pretend. Oh, God. So, this creates a problem. So that means it happens like God begins to take initiative from us. What we do, He does. Forgive as we. So He's learning from us. Serious. Verse 14. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Ah. So we lead, He follows. 15. Now, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father or your Father forgive your trespasses. Eh? That's a difficult text. The heavenly Father has sinned. No more. So it's a difficult thing. It's bad enough that I have sinned. The heavenly Father now says, because you sin, I will sin. Our Father. So I said, no, it's being under the law. Keep quiet. What does it make you right? So under the law, the Father can see. How can the Father not forgive? Because I didn't forgive. So, he's doing beef. Leave me! Leave me! Forgive Paul. The Heavenly Father does not forgive. We have all men misery. Bad translation is not so. So easy to see. A man can lose it quickly. We all know unforgiveness is a sin. Even the Father knows. The devil knows. All men know. So let's look at the text where the issue is. Are you there? Matthew 6, 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither would your heavenly, your Father forgive your trespass. With curiosity, I looked at the word. Because the key word there is, will also. So I saw it. Oh. So, if you forgive if you forgive men their trespasses, the word also in the Greek has three shades. Also, that as or that is or because of. So I said, it's not difficult to see. So it actually means your heavenly Father, okay, also forgives. That's what he's saying. You are doing it because he does it. Pay attention. The next verse that will now be a problem is 15. Because 15 says, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither would your heavenly Father. Again, is bad English. The word neither there is not as your heavenly Father forgives you your trespasses. He was not asking you to do it so that your heavenly Father will forgive you. No, it was the other way around. That you will forgive because your heavenly Father forgives. Bad translation. Because in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5. In fact, look at Matthew 6:29. I think I noticed something. Matthew 6:29. The word neither there is the same word that he used here in 29. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Like. So, if you do not forgive men's trespasses, like your heavenly Father will forgive your own trespasses. That's what he's talking about. See how it changes the whole thing. It's not difficult to even see it. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Jesus never ever said, do something so that your heavenly Father will do what you have done. No. In fact, in Matthew 5, it was clear. Verse 4, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, who makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So who was to copy who? I'm asking a question. Look at the next verse. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? Look at 47. Come on, let's take 47 together. If you salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans do? No, take 48 very closely, everybody together. Be ye therefore even as. That's what he has been talking about. So it is, do what he does. Is that very clear, everybody? Back translation. How would I do something for him to do? No. It's do what he does. Be like your heavenly Father. Mark 11. Are you getting something here? Mark 11:25. When you stand praying, forgive if any has ought against you, that your heavenly Father, Abba, because your heavenly Father in heaven also forgives you your trespasses. That is the right translation. I'm coming there shortly. Also forgives you your trespasses. It's not the word might. It's the word also. That is. Similar to the word kai. Forgives you your trespasses. Then in 26. If you do not forgive, as your heavenly Father forgives you your trespasses. That's what he's saying. That is, when you don't forgive, you are not like your heavenly Father who forgives you of your own trespasses. That's what he's talking about. He uses the word O-U-D-E. Same thing in Matthew 6. So there was a wrong translation of those words by the King James. Same thing in Matthew 6. It was in Mark 11. He's not using a condition for the heavenly Father. He's using a similarity. That this is not as your heavenly Father forgives you. Say if you forgive, that's like your heavenly Father. If you don't, that is not like your heavenly Father. Simple. Is that very, very clear? So, was it do something so that everybody will do it, or do what he does? Do what he does. Do what he does. The heavenly Father forgives. Hallelujah. Because Jesus, in all his ministry, there was no idea he said, I will not forgive. If I said, all manner of sin that a man will commit shall be forgiven. So this is a terrible translation. So we are to forgive as the Heavenly Father forgives. Is this very clear, everybody? consistently the character of God. Matthew 18. We shared that in buying and losing. Matthew 18. Verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. He will hold you. He will hold you accountable for unforgiveness. Very clear. We explain that in teaching binding and losing. We'll get that. So go back to Luke 7. Your sins are forgiven. In better Greek words, your sins have been forgiven. You are made whole. Sozo, verse 50. Your sins have been forgiven. Same thing, Luke 5, 20 and 24. So the Heavenly Father forgives. So every time you read Matthew 6, I read Mark 11, 25, he's saying, copy who? Huh? Who was using an example? He said, you beat people, know how to give good gifts. How much more should Heavenly Father? So the Heavenly Father does not take, he doesn't take initiative from us. He initiates what we should do. Is it very clear? So, forgiveness is like a fabric in the nature of God. That is who He is. It's not a reaction. That is His nature. Did you hear that? That is His nature. Matthew 5:45. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? So I said, neither would know, not as your heavenly Father who forgives you of your trespass. It's not as, not neither will your heavenly Father. Do you understand that? That is not like your heavenly Father who forgives you. See? That if you do this, this is not like your heavenly Father. If you hold up men, their sins, it's not like your heavenly Father. Forgive, you forgive us our debtors. As we forgive, no. You forgive us our debt. You forgive us our sins, so that we forgive those who offend us. Do you understand? So He gave us the example of what to do. Does it make sense, everybody? Not that we do it for you to do something. No. Then how is He our Father? Is that very clear? Let's see one more. Matthew 5:45. That you may be the children of your Father. The word there is the word kinomai. You may exist as the children of your Father who is in heaven, who makes His Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Be ye therefore perfect. Verse 48. As your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, Jesus brought the character of God to us to see. I said, this is how to act. Your Heavenly Father forgives. Forgive our debts so that we may forgive those who sin. You forgive us our sins so that we will forgive those who sin against us. So, He does it for us to do it. Is that very clear? Go to Ephesians 4:32. Very consistent with the entire body of scriptures. Ephesians 4:32. Right on the cross. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. That just negates that thinking. For they know not what they do. How can your Father forgive? After saying that if you don't forgive, your Father will not forgive. Is those ones forgiving? So the character of the Father is that He always forgives. So you forgive like He always forgives. Does it make any sense here? Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Is it God looking at Christ? God in Christ has forgiven you. Colossians 3:13. Forbear one another and forgive one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. 2 Peter 1:9. Peter says, if you are such that you hold such things against people, that Peter classifies you. 2 Peter 1:9. He that lacks these things is blind, cannot see far off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. 1 Peter 4:8. Love shall cover the multitude of sins. Hallelujah. James 5:15. Nobody taught conditional forgiveness. Not Jesus, not the apostles. James 5:15. Are you learning something? Pray, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him by men. Then he says, confess your faults to another. That is talking about in human interaction, that you may be healed. I said that the last time. Why would Paul write that a man should forgive? Ephesians 4:32. Because he had told in Ephesians 1:7 to have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So, just like Jesus said, we forgive because you have forgiven us. We forgive our debtors just as you have forgiven us our own. Colossians 2:13, same thing. He forgave you all your trespasses. That's why we write 3:13. If any have any quarrel against you, forgive them as God has forgiven you in Christ. In other words, the man that has sinned against you has been forgiven. The man, he said, he didn't do it. Said, what he has done, he has been forgiven. So you are only responding to what God has done for him. Are you learning something here? Come on, are you learning something here? 2 Corinthians 5:18. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to which God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Look at the word katalasso. It means an exchange. It deals with value. That's the word reconciliation. Katalasso, K-A-T-A-L-A-S-S-O. It means an exchange of value. It places value on that person. So, whilst the law will be counting the person's sins, God values the person. He values the person. The word of reconciliation. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Let's look at the word reconcile. Romans 5:10. For if when, this is very critical, look at how Paul puts it. If when we were enemies, Paul or somebody else, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So the reconciliation did not take place when you believe the gospel. Reconciliation is God's character. It's not you say, oh, I surrender, or you surrendered everything. Today they don't, you don't come and surrender, you have to bring seed. As enemies, he reconciled us. Why? Romans Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, God commended his love towards us. Christ died for us. So God's reconciliation is not conditional. It's unconditional. It's not dependent on a man's action. It's what God did on his own. Who was the one who walked away from God? Man. Who sinned? Man. Who reconciled? God. That's strange. Right? That beats your imagination. God is the one who approached man. Man sins. Or man sins is the right word. And God stands in his stead in Christ, saying those sins are forgiven. Blatant scandalous to the man, the man's mind goes, what are you trying to say? Exactly. Scandalous. There's no outer of unforgiveness in him. No strand of anger. It was not, it is not, it will not. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you in church? So it's clear. Ephesians 2:1. Everything God did for man was when the man did not even know. Ephesians 2:1. It was not a joint ticket, joint signature, an agreement. We sat down, we talked about it. Say, God, so what do you want me, guys, what do you want to do? Well, you know what? I think it was one action. Ephesians 2:1. You who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 5. When we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. When we were dead. That's why Paul will say, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God. Not of your own selves. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I cried. That day, I cried. Ask him what he was crying about. I cried. I looked at my life. That's not salvation. I looked at my life. How is that salvation? You are only wearing a garden. A chagall. Maybe you are not born again. I looked at myself. The only thing that made a man say, oh miserable man, who am I? Who shall deliver me? Was when Paul was conscious of the law. Look at my life. You might remember when you were in primary school. Who brought that memory to you? And there you go. How we say? Now you're going to start confessing all the sins you have committed. You might not sit down. Start beginning to memorize. They have dealt the tree of knowledge of good and evil on your soul. Yes, no. You don't remember the word that nobody knew. He knows my name. Nobody sees. His blood will wash everything. Just remember it. And they harass you. A guy on the cross just said, remember me. If he wasted his time there, time to... Trying to be counted. You just hear it is finished. If you waited before somebody the guy had too many things to confess, he just gave up. Before they can put somebody on the cross. You know, and you know that many moral guys did not receive. But that terrible person in the eye, you know that. Except Jesus told that story, you wouldn't know that it happened. So it's unlikely that those around you, the man will say, Taju, the way he lived his life. And the guy talking is going to hell. The way he lived his life. I really pity him. Oh. You know, and I told him before he committed that last murder, see what happened to him. It's so sad though. And say, do you know God has forgiven your sins? Please don't preach that nonsense to me here. Do you know that forgiveness is yours forever? I said, don't preach that nonsense to me here. Nonsense. And I'll still never touch you. That is justified. Because it was only Jesus that told that story. Disciples have fled now. All disciples have fled. They also needed the same thing. Remember me. They could not even say, remember me. The guy saw what they didn't see. You know that thief believed the gospel before them. The thief believed the gospel before Peter. So when you get to your kingdom, he knew he was going to rise from the dead. Hallelujah. The apostles, they fled. Are you in church? That's scandalous. Not good. So, God's forgiveness is His nature, it's His grace. By grace, you are saved through faith, not of works, lest anybody should boast. Salvation is such that you will not say you did anything. You just say, I believed. That's all. You will say, you know, the thing touched my heart. You know those stories? Our works glorify. It touched my heart. And somebody comes and gives a testimony of his life. How he was doing drugs. I used to pastor a church, not Saints Community. And they would bring in maybe one ex-cultist. He would spend money. He would play music. The guy would now come, they would sit down. Yeah, that was in the 90s. People are not called the bug then. They'll sit down, then they'll be talking, and then they'll serve food. The guy will not call one particular guy. The one I attended before I became pastor, the guy just sat down, he used to play for Fela or something. I just talked about how they would take. I now asked the pastor, I said, do I need anybody to collect offering, honorarium, to tell me what Fela used to do? So you brought the story of Fela's shrine to make people feel bad. I said, how can the guy come and tell us, I used to smoke, I used to do girls. I said, even people that didn't know how they used to do girls, you are just telling them. And then the guy said, you want to come to Jesus? Which Jesus? Which Jesus did you just preach? You want to say, Lord, Lord, I want to forsake all and follow you. Faith, forsake all, I trust in you. That is not salvation, no. F, forsake all. You don't know it. Forsake all, I trust in. That's not salvation. Who asks you to forsake? You have eaten the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You are sowing chagrin. He that believes. That's all. So say, I don't believe that thing you preach. No, I don't. Someone told me. Say, ah. He says, easy believism. Believe. Easy believism. I said, go and arrest God. He only wants to be believed. That's all. He's not a sanguinary despot like you and your co-preachers. He only wants to be believed. He demonstrated his love by his son, taking responsibility for what he did not do. So when we see that sacrifice, say, now do the same. So the love of Jesus does not just save us, it has changed us. So grace is not a license to sin, it's a license to love. Having said what he has done, you do the same. It's only warped minds that hear this. The next thing on their mind, live anyhow. Before you heard it, you were living anyhow. Is that not why you said the nonsense you just said? It changes your perception. It's difficult for someone to believe in the gospel and then be holding things against people. It's difficult. That means you don't understand it. You are far from the kingdom. It's too clear. I mean, you stand before someone
and it doesn't regard what you regard it as wrong, even though it is wrong. And it talks to you like it never happened. And that is how he wants you to stop doing wrong. Huh? That blows the mind. Seeing what he does, it changes what we do. Many have not changed because they don't even know what he did. Can you bring someone and torment people and say, well, I used to have 60 boyfriends. And so stop having them. That's all. I told one lady, I said I was going out to give testimony. I said, come. I said, when you read Hebrews 8, 12, it is the pronoun belongs to one person. I will remember no more. It's God that said it. Brethren will not forget. Brethren will not forget you. I heard the story of one guy who went to the Reverend Father. After, as he was talking to the Reverend Father, open his mouth. This is what I do. The man goes, I said, brethren. Say, God is mindful of me. Calm down, oh, that's God. Brethren. Do you know, something wonderful. Jesus is up from the dead. He said, tell my brethren and Peter. People have wondered how Peter changed. We don't know what Jesus told him. Whatever he told him, Peter became very bold. He only talked with Peter the content we don't know. Whatever it was, the guy became bold. He was giving issues about Judas. He was numbered amongst us. It was a righteousness consciousness. That's how, when he talks to you, he talked to a woman who had had 5 husbands, and there was now a man in her house, a way match. He said it to her. She wasn't crying. You tell me, I'll say, sister, what's going on? What's that? Did you come to this world to marry? As he finished talking to her, she went to preach. Now come and see, man. Imagine the words of the gospel will produce righteousness consciousness. That's what it does. Jesus was, what? Look at the woman that came to him, caught in the very act. I don't know where the man was. Maybe he was one of those who wanted to throw stones. You know, he didn't even look up. I can imagine the stench of their hypocrisy with Jesus. He didn't look at them. He was just like, what is it?
Master.
Moses said, he didn't look at him. He was no sin. Let him cast the first stone. Never. Just walked away. He knew they had gone. And he said, woman, where are your categories? Tell them, oh God, neither do I condemn you. Go and see no more. That is, go and abandon me no more. Stay close here. Praise God. When you stay close to me, there will be no accusation. You don't go and don't do it again. How will she do it? Don't reason like a legalistic person. Go and do it no more. Go and do it no more. Go and do it. How? He gave her his spirit. Don't put your legalism there again. Say no more. Say no more. Hallelujah. That's how he does. So anything you hear, all of them are feeling, oh my God, I know God is angry with me. Bros. Hebrews 2:2. Just fellowship with angels. The word spoken by angels was steadfast. That every transgression and disobedience, that every, receive a just recompense of reward. How shall you escape?
Let's quickly round up. Are you learning something? We'll just close on this tangent and say that you can situate sin and sinful conduct within our relationships with one another. And that's why love is usually called the law of the new covenant. All the writers of the epistles taught love strongly. Paul, in Galatians 5:22, he mentions the fruit of the Spirit, and he says, love, gentleness, meekness, patience, long-suffering, joy, peace. In Galatians 6:1, he makes a very, very mind-numbing statement. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, that is caught in an open sin, that's what it means. You that are spiritual, because he knows people are going to be carnal, he says, restore such one. It's not to God you are restoring to. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. In other words, he's caught in an open sin. Restore him before the brethren. Make him stand. The word restore is used for broken bones to make it stand upright and properly. Let him be able to stand among believers. That's what he's saying. So watch yourself, lest you be tempted to act in the flesh. Bear ye one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. Love is a law, as it is said, of the new covenant. That's it. Hebrews 13, let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love, brotherly affection. Hebrews 13, 16. To do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Hebrews 13 and 16. Galatians 5:22. Look at Galatians 5. Let me show you something before you go to the fruit of the Spirit. If a man does not hear the love walk, he doesn't sin. The man does not err in the love walk, he doesn't sin. The love walk is the law of the new creature. That's why Paul will say, look, if you, with your knowledge, make another to sin, said you have sinned against Christ. And he was teaching love. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. 1 Corinthians 8 and 1. Look at Galatians. Oh, that's in Galatians 5. Watch where he started from. Verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by what? Love. Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. So what's he talking about? Love. I say then, walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other. And so that you cannot do the things which you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, that's what he calls it, are manifest. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, traditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, rebellions, and such like. Which I tell you, because I told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, because you are born again, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What did he call the fruit of the law? Love. So, what he has described here is love. Against such there is no law. These are Christ, have crucified the flesh, with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, so looking at one another to watch over the other person. Brethren, if a man to be taken in the fault. If there are spiritual resources in one in the spirit of weakness, meekness, so I said, let there be chastened. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Are you in church? Help one another. Be there. Cover people's sins. How can Peter says love covers the multitude of sins of others? 1 Peter 4:8. That's what he does. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13, read through it from verse 4 down to verse 6. Doesn't envy, doesn't seek, doesn't think evil. He believes the best of every person. What Jesus taught mostly about the Father in the 4 Gospels was his love. We are born of the Father now, so we love. John just wrote extensively about love. He started by saying, he forgave your sins. He cleansed you from all righteousness. God is love. You cannot hold hot against people and claim to walk in the light. Because in the light, sins are cleansed. So clear. That's why I say, when people teach legalism, they hardly talk about love. Because it will break the hold of legalism. It's important. So a believer must see that now he has been loved by God. Sins forgiven. To not be recorded against him. Then he says, now walk the same way towards others. Men are going to offend you. But as they are offending you, you know they are forgiven. So you now act like your heavenly Father. And you also forgive them. Walk in the Spirit. And you will not feel the lust of the flesh. So the love of God does not just save us. It sends us. We're saved from condemnation. Past, present, and future. It also changes us. It affects us. Knowing the character of God in Scripture, it changes how you behave. How many of you have noticed that? It affects how you act. It just affects you. Generally. Because that is the essence of the death of Christ. Look at how John says it. He said, we perceive the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. 1 John 3:16. He said, we ought to also lay down our lives for brethren. James taught all that. James 2, James 3, that's what he was talking about. Human interaction. Human interaction. Up till James 5, he said, look, if he has committed any sins, forgive him. Confess your faults one to another, that you'll be rather healed. James 5, 15, 16. So prominent in all the scriptures, you cannot escape to see it. That love is the nature of the man born again. Love is the example we found in redemption. And love is instruction on how we live. When we do that, we will not walk in the flesh. We will walk in the spirit towards all of us. We will walk in the flesh. So if a man is taught the love of God, he sees what God has done in Christ. It will affect his thinking and his conduct too. I hope this is till 2019.